Okay, we have a couple more regular agenda items left. 984.
Adopt regulations for marijuana license procedures and requirements.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. As requested by Council after the hearing last week, we are returning with amendments to limit locations to 1,000 feet across both medical and retail. We are also amending the fee schedule to cover the cost of the program with fewer successful applications likely, and we are adding a severability clause to the ordinance so that if any part of the proposed code is found to be problematic, the rest of it still stands. With that summary, I'll turn it over to Teresa Marchetti.
Thank you so much. Good morning, Council members. I'm Teresa Marchetti. I'm the Livability Manager for the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. And really, I'm just here to answer any questions that you may have.
Questions for Teresa or Victor?
Do others have the amendments language and also the ordinance change with the severability clause in it?
Yes.
I believe we do. So do we need a motion, please, for those amendments? Is that right?
So moved.
Second.
So further discussion of accepting the amendments in our packet dated today. Okay. Roll call on accepting the amendments.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Aye. I believe that we need to provide the opportunity for anyone that wants to speak on the amendments. Okay. Thank you both.
We have a sign-up sheet. We have, I think Joe Walsh left. We have Nathaniel Williams, Alex Povich, and Rainey is the last name.
Good morning. Come on up.
How you doing? My name is Nathaniel Williams. And one of the issues that I feel like that the city lack in providing this amendment is that regulations on schools, basically, because my nephew's 12 years old. He's in middle school. And he says the teachers, when the kids are on break, they're smoking pot. And I know the industry now is growing large in the city of Oregon, in the state of Oregon. So the thing is that they're advertising more, and it's leading kids more to do recreation drug abuse and leading away from education. And when schools are allowing kids to do these things at school and no one's enforcing it, the city should look more in close into getting superintendents and school enforcement in these things and having control over these things. And also, I'm really against putting regulations on local businesses because these are businesses and, you know, they have a right to make a living. And that's what voters pass these things for. But one of the things that the industry take, the cannabis industry take in consideration is that they should promote more on advertising, basically, hey, don't do drugs at school. You know, go talk to schools and saying, hey, drug-free zones. More things like that instead of posting marijuana attractive everywhere in all communities, wherever you go, they're promoting smoke pot. And that's basically my concern on that issue, that schools should be the number one focus. Do not lead our kids astray. That education is the key to success. And marijuana is a gateway drug to a lot of more things, and I know a lot of kids start off smoking at 14, 15 years old, and they should be focusing on their schoolwork. And the industries are now freely promoting it wherever you go, and they're passing out flyers and saying, hey, come smoke. And a lot of our kids are doing it, and schools should be held accountable for those things and should be enforcing teachers with allowing kids to smoke, because probably teachers probably smoke pot as well. It happens. They're not enforcing it. And I feel like that's a concern for my nephew if he's telling me, hey, kids are smoking weed at school. I'm like, wow, and teachers do anything? He's like, no. So I should really take that in consideration and give that a really, really strong look into the school districts in the city of Portland instead of putting more regulations on the cannabis industry and come to an agreement on promoting it. Thank you.
Thank you.
I do think it's maybe not an either or. It's both. This is the regulatory system, and we are going to be having a big education campaign. If you could talk to Rachel Wiggins, who's behind the council clerk, and let her know which school your nephew attends, because we do have school police officers, and absolutely, it is not legal to use marijuana in public, any kind of public place, and that includes any place that you can pay to get into if anybody can pay to get into it. So there's a lot of education that we need to do. It's not that, hey, this is legal and we can do it anywhere we want.
Right.
So I really appreciate your comments.
Yeah, teachers should be held accountable for those things, and the superintendent should be really, really strict.
You could talk to Rachel, who's right behind the council clerk.
Thank you
really
so much.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That's very helpful. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Commissioners and Mayor Hales. My name is Alex Pavich. I'm a city business owner here in Portland. I'm here to represent the citizens and marijuana patients that strongly urge you to vote no on this last-minute, poorly thought-out ordinance that duplicates current state laws and regulations, but also includes higher standards and guidelines that are already existing on an Oregon state level. The people understand there is a fear for lack of regulations and this new industry, but this ordinance is an unnecessary overregulation at a city level that duplicates two state agencies that have already set laws and have already been regulating the marijuana industry for almost 2 years. Creating a duplicate oversight committee and division at the city level is a waste of taxpayers' money and valuable city agencies' time. This ordinance will create such overregulation and city bureaucracy at an industry that is already facing overregulation more stringent than any other industry at this time. This ordinance undermines the state agencies, the OHA and the OLCC, that have been working tirelessly to create new divisions, agencies, and educational programs to help teach our public. More importantly, this ordinance creates conflict between city and state laws, which will inevitably increase conflicts, black market sales, potential lawsuits against the city, which is a further waste of taxpayer money. The people understand the city want more oversight and regulation, and we can agree that on a city fee for a business permit, we can agree on a city fee for a business permit, but it should not include more stringent guidelines that already are outlined by state laws. I also urge you to review these fees so that they are fair to business owners rather than the noted fees listed at greater than 10% higher or 10 times higher than any other business fee in the city to date. Do use these fees to help raise awareness and educational programs, since the gentleman was mentioning there. Please help fund schools, help the homeless situation, fix those transportation and streetcar sign problems. Do not fund a new city division or program that wastes time and money duplicating already in place state laws. I again note that conflict will arise when already licensed state businesses and invested business owners potentially fail to receive a new city permit under this more stringent guideline outlined in this ordinance. In conclusion, please don't make a haste decision based on fear of the unknown, but do take the time to propose a logical guideline for the marijuana industry at the city level. Do require a registration of business in the city. Do require a fair business city permit fee. Do require these businesses to comply with local business and building codes. Do require this list of businesses to be accessible to other agencies, but do not require these agencies to waste more time and taxpayer money having to approve each application under this ordinance. And please do not conflict with current state laws and regulations. Do require the city attorney to review a proper ordinance so as to not conflict with current state law. And please do not use taxpayer money or monies collected from fees to fund duplicate oversight committees and programs at the state level that already at the city level that already exist at the state level. Thank you.
There's one comment you made I just want to respond to and maybe give you a chance to comment. I've been on the council for 7 years. This is the first time I've ever heard someone from the public say that when the city proposes to regulate in the public interest in a way that's more stringent than either the OLCC or some other state regulatory body, that we are, quote, undermining them. And just from my vantage point, the typical testimony we get in this body is that they haven't gone far enough in protecting public health and safety. So we are urged to step in to the breach and to adopt local standards and community standards consistent with our values. So I'm a little surprised. I understand you have a disagreement, and I would also quibble a little bit with your comment, this is poorly thought out. Just about everybody who testified last week said they thought this was the best public process they had ever participated in, which is not surprising because Commissioner Fritz supervised it. And we also had a hearing in which a lot of people testified and led to these amendments. So I don't think it's poorly thought out. I think we have an honest disagreement, and you're free to have a disagreement. But the notion that we're going to do something different and therefore it undermines the OLCC, I just don't I don't understand that perspective. And I'll maybe take a second just to help me understand your point.
Yeah, Commissioner Fish, have you actually read the ordinance in full and compared it to the current state law guidelines? I mean, there are more, the city is trying to impose more stringent guidelines
and
that are outlined
redundant.
In the state.
Right, and sir, whether you agree or disagree with that, the city is a separate entity with its own powers. And if the city chooses to regulate at a higher level than the state, we're usually applauded for doing that, not criticized. But I'm just curious why you think that undermines the OLCC. You may disagree with the level of regulation.
It might be a personal interest. I mean, being that if I owned a business that was currently licensed by the state and I've been operating for numerous years with numerous employees, and now the city comes in and requires further regulations and says that I am unable to obtain now a city permit, even though I've been operating for years under state law, basically you're telling me that I've just lost my investment, I've lost my employees, have to find new jobs.
And that you're superseding
that you're creating.
Can I just ask a question about that? So you're a medical marijuana dispensary.
I own a medical marijuana dispensary, correct.
And the amendments that we're making today were made at the request of multiple medical dispensary.
And I'm not arguing that. And like I stated, there's numerous things in this ordinance that I do agree upon, you know, fees and certain oversights that, you know, making sure that agencies are aware that we're doing business in the city. I wholeheartedly agree with that. I wholeheartedly agree with the gentleman here stating that there are going to be bad apples in our industry that are putting out horrible representations of what we're trying to do. I mean, this is something that cannot be overregulated, though. You're just going to push people back to the black market. And like, once again, imagine a business owner saying that, oh, I can't, I've been operating here for 2 years, and now you're taking away my ability to operate because I can't get a permit through the city. That individual is going to be, you know, left without jobs. And it's
we'll have the staff come back and address your concern. Thank you for raising
thank
it.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Good morning.
Hi, thank you guys. My name is Ali Guarini. I am not only an OMMP patient, a resident of Portland, but I also sit on the chair for the ACMM and for the OLCC for the RAC committee. Appreciate your time. I feel that the regulations and licensings of the application fees being put out are extremely and unjustified. I agree with the City of Portland that we do have to have some sort of limited involvement with the marijuana facilities. There must be more appropriate happy medium for both of us. Dispensaries have proven that they can exist for over a year and a half without causing any concerns in regards to the public health and safety. The City of Portland would like to have the marijuana businesses, which means that you would like the taxpayers' money, which means it should also be accepted that the OHA and the OLCC has already done their regulations. HB 3400 granted local government to adopt an ordinance prohibiting the sale of limited marijuana product. From SB 460 and HB 3400, the local opt-out section, which you may allow to do if you would like to do. It is not granted to the local government to then create its own set of rules, which you are trying to do, and regulate for the business to submit to. This is why we have the state agencies in place and ready to go. If the state clears at a PRF for operation, there should be no further testing that a person should have to operate a business here in Portland. I don't understand that with the personal history form it could provide after residency, background check, and more is then cleared by the state. In response to your ordinance in Part 14B, 130080, Oregon's existing dispensary law can protect an OMMP patient who works at the licensed medical facility to consume marijuana. Again, I don't believe you as the City of Portland should have the override of what the state law has already set in place. I don't think the City of Portland understood the implications of what it meant by premises and any room of the property of the location. You do not have to have your ID checked at the door of a liquor store, just at a point of sale. By not allowing minors into the premises or even a waiting room of a medical dispensary and or rec at your choice would make it very difficult for many patients to either get transportation and or their medicine to their dispensary. For the patients who need information and all those for the minors that come in, we need to allow that space. The marijuana is in a separate room and away from the public, so you guys understand. Air filtrations and regulations also seem to be excessive, as it is shown to not be deemed that smell is a nuisance. There's also a link that I could quote for you guys. Portland Police Bureau's inspection is also an unnecessary allotment of our taxpayers' money and a huge waste of time. Facilities have already been met regulations and regarding to the locations and security set in place by OHA. It seems unnecessarily to implement this large applications and license fee on the businesses to carry out unnecessary oversight on a small business is what you were trying to promote here in Portland. It seems unnecessarily intimate such large application fees on a business to carry out unnecessary oversight. I would like to see that both reach an oversight and fees to come down to a regional point for both of us, at least for the medical side, at least because they serve the patients who need this. You can develop programs, or you cannot develop a program to try to regulate in October sales. It is too late, you guys. Regulations and fees have been set, and they should be set until 2016 and forward. If it is not necessary, or it is necessary to not allow new marijuana facilities to come into existence within the 1,000 feet of the school or existing medical marijuana dispensaries. They have been saving their populations, and they've already been serving them and fulfilling their needs. They should be able to serve those patients and now choose to serve the general public as if they need it. Please do not pass this ordinance, and please take extra time to read this. I don't know how much more I can hope that you guys would actually read this, and I don't know if you guys have actually read the OHA or the OLCC, but you guys are super redundant, and I think it's a huge waste of time as a patient and an advocate at the City of Portland. This is my hometown. I've been born and raised here, and it makes me sick to my stomach to see this go in. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Are you here as individuals or representing a trade association?
I'm representing about 45 patients that could not be here. I'm also representing myself as a person, as an OMP patient, and I'm here representing as an operator of a medical marijuana dispensary.
All right, and I've, again, been doing this long enough that your testimony sounds like a tort claim notice, and you have every right to put that in the record, but you've laid out what is a potentially a legal challenge. And it sounds to me like the crux of your argument, and I'm not judging your argument, I'm just trying to understand it, is that you don't think we have the legal right to do this under state law.
It's not that I don't think you have legal right, but I don't see how you guys have legal right to go against what we've already been putting in the effort for, what OHA and OLCC has already been working and spending tons of money.
You're creating a program to create a job for a director that we already exists by the state.
And so, you stated in there that you were solely, it says right in the amendment of your ordinance, that this is solely to fund the program that you are solely creating. So why are we creating another program and more fees for programs that are already being set?
I'm going to ask you a couple of questions because I'm trying to understand. And, mm-hmm. and I get you've been very clear in your testimony, so you don't have to state it over and over again. Is your view that we don't have the legal authority to adopt these regulations?
That's up to an attorney.
That's up to
Commissioner Fish.
But in fairness, sir, you've both been reading
as a person and as
script,
a
you've been reading testimony that's been crafted. I'm guessing.
I believe
attorney. I'm just asking your opinion. Do you believe we have the authority to adopt these regulations?
No.
I believe the city is trying to oversight already imposed Oregon law. Absolutely.
I think you guys are going overboard, yes.
Right, so I'm anticipating a legal challenge, and you have every right to do that. And then what specifically...
Well, we won't be alone, just so you know.
Okay. And what specifically do you want us to change in the ordinance that's before us?
I don't think that the ordinance should be involved in anything. I don't think the ordinance should have to be passed or be brought up.
Okay,
I don't believe that the neighborhood has involved.
That's clear.
Okay.
That's clear.
There you
clear
go.
Enough. Great. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks
Thank
very
you.
Much. Okay. Others that want to speak?
Yes, ma'am. Charles Johnson and Lindsay Reinhart.
Come on up.
Please go ahead. I talked a lot.
Morning.
Mayor, commissioners, my name is Lindsay Reinhart. I testified last week. I also sent you numerous emails and asked all of the others to do so as well. I'm back again because I'm a little confused by your intent. Last week we testified that we would like the fees lowered. They have been raised tremendously. I also asked for the right to consume my medication on site in an enclosed locked room, the way that the state law reads. That has not been changed. And I also asked for for businesses to not merely be registered with the state, but to be licensed. And that's the crux of the argument against you. The dispensaries that are licensed with the state have already paid a $4,000 fee. They've already been operational since 2014 or longer. And they've already got an inpatient base, a patient base and an employee base that they already serve. These dispensaries already provide wages for between 2 to 15 people, depending on the size of the facility. And they are already providing medicine for anywhere from 200 to 4,000 patients each. To let a registered business open prior to allowing a medical business to open under Portland licensing is exactly the problem that you're facing. And the people that testified before me saying that you will have legal problems are absolutely correct. If a medical facility that's already been operational is forced to close because a recreational facility is merely registered with the state but not licensed with OLCC, you will force small businesses to close their doors. Patients will lose their access, recreational users will lose that access, and people like me will lose their jobs. This job provides for my family of four. I'm the sole person that provides income for my family. If a recreational facility opens their doors across the street from me as a registered facility but not licensed, and they hit enter before the PRF of my medical facility, you are effectively closing the medical facility and allowing the recreational facility to open in its place that has not done their due diligence. They have not been serving this community. They have not been providing jobs. They have not been providing medicine. And frankly, the argument is that's not fair. It's not. These licenses were already approved by the state. So when people are saying that you're superseding the state and the OLCC, that's probably likely where I come from, is that these businesses were already operational. They're already licensed. You're going to force people to close their doors the way this is written. That's why we testified the way we did last week. And to come back and see the amendments worse is not okay.
So when you say worse, the amendments say that we're going to treat both classes of uses the same for purposes of the anti-concentration rule, the one mile, thousand foot rule. Are you saying that as you read it, that an existing operator, and there's an interpretation that an existing operator, let's say a medical marijuana dispensary, would have to close if someone opened within 1,000 feet of them?
Yes, sir. That's the way it reads. The language says licensed or registered. So if you're licensed with OHA, you have paid a $4,000 fee and you've gone through everything.
So we'll ask staff that question because that we had a clear intent when we were talking about this, and we'll come back and have that conversation. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your very clear testimony last week.
Hey, Charles.
Good morning, Commissioners. Charles Johnson. I don't have near the breadth or experience. I'm not a consumer or a medical marijuana patient, but I do think that we should sit back for a moment and look. We know that our city, even though the economy is rebounding, is always looking for new sources of revenue, even though we don't know what we're going to do about the streets since the legislature let us down. But I almost want to ask the auditor to review what's gone on here. How many hours and how much wages of city workers, which will hopefully be recouped by these fees, is going into marijuana while people are still being killed by drunk drivers and people are still dying on the streets of Portland from heroin. I think that there's, you know, it's a little bit of a rabbit hole because this ordinance comes with a funding mechanism and, you know, we could argue that that's an argument why Portland should be in the lead to adopt a better drug policy like many cities in Europe to deal with our heroin problem. But that'd be a big fight against the federal government, which can't even figure out what to do about marijuana yet. But I do want you to listen to the voices of these people who've said that there are problems that could impact existing medical marijuana dispensaries. I think that nobody in any neighborhood wants to see a dispensary that's been around for a year or more and which they have some comfort level with, be replaced by a recreational marijuana facility. So consider not passing the ordinance. And also, it's just marijuana, people. We really have more important things to worry about. Let the process, don't make this person or staff that's hired bust their butt. Have them sit by the phone and wait for complaints and get input from neighbors so that they can really find out. Nobody really cares, except unless you have extreme sensitivity to the smell. Nobody really cares about marijuana. What they are worried about is other criminal activity, which the police should be taking care of without any fancy 15-page marijuana ordinance. So please, regardless of whether you have the sense to strike down this ordinance or pass it, make sure that the enforcement is complaint-driven and sane. We all know that there are occasional people who process complaints for the city know that there are some intense complainers, and that the complaints need to be put in a broader perspective of the neighborhoods. Thank you.
May I ask one question, please? Is there any way, I heard you all discussing before delaying a vote until next week that could still be done in an emergency. Is there any way you could please delay this vote until the language is clear?
We'll check on that. We're going to bring staff back up and get some answers to some of these
Thank
questions.
Thank you for being here.
So, thank you.
I appreciate that point. So, okay, if there's no other public testimony, anyone else? So come on back up, please. So, yeah, walk us through this based on the testimony that we got last week and the amendments in front of us.
Okay.
There was this concern raised that, and we've heard it again here today, that we have existing medical marijuana licensees
right.
that are located with or without a 1,000-foot spacing standard somewhere, right?
Let's assume there's nothing within 1,000 feet.
Okay. So they're located here and there.
Right.
Are any of them within 1,000 feet of each other now?
Yes, some of them are.
Some of them are. Okay, so the state didn't enforce...
No, they didn't.
The state didn't enforce a consistent 1,000-foot spacing standard on their own.
Correct. Right?
And we're not...
Well, hang on, sir, folks. We got a chance to...
You don't score points talking over others, and you're going to get the same respect that they're going to get, so please... Does not help your cause. I can see your thumb. Does not help your cause.
So all right. So we have existing.
Because you made a point, but just let me piggyback off it. Why are we not grandfathering people in who find themselves in that circumstance? I mean, our rule is 1,000 feet.
Right.
But to the extent there are people who, through no fault of their own, would be caught, would be within 1,000 feet, why aren't we grandfathering existing licensees in?
So we don't. We don't currently know where all of the licensees are because up until this last legislative session, there were confidentiality parameters. So there are some licenses or some, I'm sorry, dispensaries that are operating as dispensaries that don't even have a registration with OHA. We don't know who those are until we actually receive their paperwork and can make that phone call to OHA. It's one of the challenges that we're trying to work out with that agency. The other, go ahead.
I was going to try to simplify the question because I appreciate mm-hmm. the thoughtfulness that you're answering. But let's assume we knew where everyone was.
Okay. So we've also been asked through this entire process to apply an equity lens to this. And the medical dispensaries, again, before last legislative session, really existed in an unregulated market. They had a registration. And the philosophy behind the medical dispensary's existence was that they provide medication for their patients. So there is not necessarily a history of compliance that we can look back at and say, okay, these businesses therefore need to be grandfathered in. In fact, we give them a leg up over a population of a lot of individuals that we've heard from that look at that as a barrier.
Wait a second. We have no history of either compliance or non-compliance, right? I mean, we know that there are dispensaries here, there, and everywhere.
Right.
Some of them are located within 1,000 feet of each other. Many of them were licensed by the state, right?
Correct.
Maybe not all, but many of them were. Okay, and now we're going to have a city standard that I think the way this reads now that says regardless of whether you're a medical dispensary or a recreational dispensary, you must be 1,000 feet from everybody else in that business.
Correct.
Right? That's what the words on the page say. We'll figure out if it's good public policy or not. I think it is. But that's what the words on the page say. Then the question which Commissioner Fish has raised is, so what about the people who are already there?
Right.
And who weren't subject to that standard at the time they located their business? What happens to them under this approach?
There is the possibility that as it is right now, if we were to accept on a first-come, first-served basis applications that came into the city, there is the possibility that we would say no to an existing medical dispensary.
So they would lose their ability to operate in that location?
Correct.
Okay.
So there are, so now I understand it, and thank you for the clear view. So if the council decided to tweak that, I can think of two possible options. And the council may not want to, but let me just put them on the table for discussion. One is to grandfather existing entities defined a certain way, because
right.
we'd have to be satisfied they met minimum, you know, some qualification. Or two, if we didn't want to do a blanket approach like a grandfather, we could just have a provision that says that you can, if you're denied, and the reason you're denied is because there's someone else within 1,000 feet and you weren't first to market, there is a process to seek a review of that and get an exception. And the exception would go to someone who can show they've been operating, paying taxes, you know, been active, don't have any complaints against the business, those kinds of things. They would then be eligible for an exception. That's not the blanket grandfathering. That gives us a little more latitude to make sure that we're only extending the exception to the good actors. Steve, can you think of another option?
I like that option. I like your exception option.
I kind of like the exception, too, provided we're on legal, solid legal ground, which means we'd have to have a clear standard that you would apply. You just don't, we can't put you in a position of saying, yeah, maybe not. It would have to be, assume, provided they meet two or three or four criteria, they'd be eligible for the exception.
Yeah, I like that, too. Again, what are we trying to accomplish here? We're trying to make sure that we don't have a concentration of licensees for marijuana, because we've been there before with other state licensees, and as I mentioned last week, I'll try to say this respectfully to our state agency partners, it hasn't always been ideal to have a state agency regulating a business that then has neighborhood side effects. We've been there before. It's not pretty. So see Hayden Island. So, therefore, that's why we're exercising, it's one of the reasons why the city is exercising its regulatory authority here, is once burned a little bit shy. We've also heard a lot of testimony from the community and in the public involvement process that Commissioner Fritz led that created this ordinance. We've heard a lot of genuine concern about impacts on schools and all the rest. So we've tried to capture all that and say a reasonable spacing standard is going to work for everybody. There's plenty of places where you can locate either a medical or a recreational dispensary, and we're making sure that they're not so concentrated that they change the character of a neighborhood commercial district in ways that most people would find unfortunate. That's what we're about here. Well, we're, as far as I know, we're not over-concentrated with dispensaries today.
Correct.
So the ones that are on the ground doing business, we're not getting a lot of complaints about. You know, maybe they're not all exactly 1,000 feet apart, but
we get some.
We're okay, in my opinion, based on the lack of screaming and yelling, at least in my office on this subject. Plenty of other subjects elicit that, but not this one. So I'm being a little playful here, but my point is I have not heard in these two hearings or otherwise that the existing situation on the ground is terrible.
That's true.
So, you know, 1,000 feet is a nice number, but it's a standard for getting a result, not something that's mathematically pure.
So, Commissioner Fritz, how would you feel about a carefully crafted exception that says if you've been operating a responsible small business and you meet a certain set of criteria, you can get an exception to the rule if you meet a standard that we establish for demonstrating you've been operating in a responsible way, there would be an exception to enforcing the 1,000-foot rule for an existing business.
I'm certainly open to that. I think in addition to the public safety issues that the mayor raised, we've all been very clear that we want to support medical marijuana continuing to be available to patients and supporting existing businesses. So I'm wondering, on page 4 of the proposed code, we've got a definition of medical dispensary, which means a business located in the city that is registered with the Oregon Health Authority under ORS 475-314. I'm wondering if there's a way to reference that in the next page on page 5, where we talk about minimum standards and the medical dispensary. What we want to make sure of is that we are talking about licensed businesses. So for businesses that are properly licensed with the state now, then yes, I believe we should grandfather. If there are businesses that haven't been licensed, none of us are okay with that. What I've heard a lot from the businesses and the advocates is that we want to go through the proper steps. We also do have on page 16 of the code the administrative review by the director and appeals to the code hearings officer, which you'll remember that we amended last week at the request of the auditor. So it's possible that we could put something in there But I'm wondering, staff, how quickly could you craft an amendment with the city attorney? I know that Ben Walters is out today.
He is. You know, in terms of setting a criteria for an exception, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that needs to necessarily hinder the adoption of the rules with direction from council to develop a criteria for exception by rule that comes back to you for approval. And the reason that I say that is because I think that there are probably a pretty good set of criteria that we could come up with that would be very fair and equitable in its practice, but I wouldn't want to do that in a rush necessarily. Definitely in time and in place for when we decide to roll out the program on December 1st. But having these regulations in place, the comprehensive scheme, is quite important for addressing some of the concerns that we've started to see across.
It is an emergency ordinance. You may be being very modest because you've done a ton of work in 1 week to bring this to us, and I actually don't think this exception has to be a complicated exception. I think we just establish the sense of what you've heard here, that you're an otherwise licensed business. We don't want a bad actor getting the benefit of the exception, but I think everyone sort of knows what we're talking about, and we just come up with the simplest way of stating that to give you the right to, on a case-by-case basis, make an exception so that people are not put out of business. And the safety valve is, if they disagree with that decision, it goes to a code hearing. To give you the decision, delegate to you the right to make an exception, and if the applicant disagrees with you, let that go to code hearing, and just agree that we won't take any negative steps against you until that code hearing is completed.
For the city attorney, are we allowed to do that kind of an exception by administrative rule, or does it have to be in the code?
Ellen Osnack, senior city attorney. I was just looking at it. I mean, I think the policy intent is very clear, but I think we're going to have to look at an amendment, because what you need to do is to delegate that authority to the director. And right now what we say is that if the minimum standards are met, the director shall issue the license. So we don't, even though we provide for an appeal, we would need to craft an amendment to make the exceptions something that you delegated to the director.
Yeah, there's already section 14B130120, right, that talks about appeals. So
the mayor likes to say measure twice and cut once. Yeah. I think we've measured about 16 times at this point. Okay. And still, could you remind us, please, Teresa, of the timeline of when things are going to happen?
Recreational sales of marijuana in limited quantities will start from dispensaries as of October 1st. And I think that, you know, the variation in compliance will be more evident then. There have been many anecdotal stories about individuals who are looking to push the bounds with that new ability to sell recreational as of October 1st. I think that these, our intention to get these regulations in place for the city of Portland before that October 1st date was specifically to address that spectrum of licensees that's looking for, okay, so what's going to fly? Here.
So as of October 1st, only medical dispensaries will be able to sell recreational.
Yes, and I did want to clarify one point that we heard from the community. The OLCC has not developed their rules. I am part of their rules advisory committee. We just had an 8-hour meeting on Friday to look over a subsection of them. We're going to have another one in October. Hopefully there will be something going before the commission by the end of November for their licensing scheme starting in January. So there really is no... There's no framework at this point at the state level.
Could you help us understand one procedural point, which is if we adopt the rules today and we come back a week or two to deal with the additional component that is under consideration, would any of the folks who've testified today and expressed concerns be prejudiced? I mean, they might disagree. They might disagree with parts of the rules we're adopting today, but in terms of the overall concern, they could be prevented from doing business or put out of business. Would they be prejudiced?
No, not if we're coming back in 2 weeks to address this exception.
So just let me continue asking you about the the dates. So on October 1st, do the medical dispensaries have to apply for a recreational license, or are they allowed to sell recreationally by right?
No, Commissioner Fritz. They simply need to notify the OHA of whether or not they will be selling recreational items.
Okay. And is any recreational retailer allowed to apply for a license on October 1st?
No, ma'am. There's not the availability for those licenses for even to receive the application isn't until January 4th with the OLCC.
So we don't actually have to adopt this before October 1st even?
We don't have to, but the regulations that are in place here with regards to the environment in which the service is occurring, which means the hours of operation, the standards by which consumption can or cannot happen, those kinds of elements will not be in place as of October 1st. Which
so those would apply to the medical dispensaries for how they can sell retail. And so as long as we were to adopt them next week, which is September 30th, and we all have had a very robust discussion of what that should be, actually we could adopt them today because since we're not going to have the issue of anybody applying to us for a retail license as of October 1st, that's not what's being contemplated.
That's true.
All we would be doing is setting the standards.
Correct.
So we might get advice of legal counsel on that point, but it would seem to me, given that there will always be someone who questions the city's authority to do something, and that there is a important turning point in this issue on October 1st, that it would be wise for the city of Portland to have its regulations in place on October 1st.
Yes.
And I think that given
that, we can still amend those regulations later, or we could adopt them on the 30th. I don't think either of those choices makes any difference.
I think that we could probably craft another amendment and bring it back next week. Okay. I'm looking at my staff who look like they're about
to cry.
More
with feeling.
Because it's been a very long road.
The benefit of that is it's a comprehensive package.
Well, yeah, I think it's actually better to get it as close, now that this issue has been brought to our attention, and I, again, appreciate all of the constructive comments we've had, and some of them we'll be able to accommodate, and some of them we're going to choose not to. That's why we have these public hearings. There is this tweak that I think we can craft some language on and bring it back again next week. Still adopts it on the 30th. I'm looking at my colleagues because I want to make sure that we are going to be adopting it on the 30th. And obviously then there's still time between December is when other new dispensaries can apply, new retailers can apply. Is that correct?
Commissioner, I just want to note we wouldn't just be adopting this. We'd be celebrating an important birthday that day too. So we have to find time for both.
Indeed so,
but
sir.
I think if we set this over a week, we can do both. And then to the extent there are folks here who still have concerns, Mayor, I found it very useful last time to signal that we'll certainly be reading our emails and any comments that come between now and then, because we will, in fact, be taking a vote next week.
I believe, actually, many of us have the same interests at heart. We want to continue to make medical marijuana available. We want to be clear in our rules. Some people don't like the rules, but from my perspective, I want to be clear in the rules, and we want to have a program in effect by October 1st so that the staff and everybody else knows what the rules are.
Colleagues, I just want to point, I'm going to be out next on the 30th.
But I think Commissioner Saltzman's going to be here.
I think we're good.
Is that
so
correct?
We'll still have a quorum.
We'll have
is that right?
We'll have four on the 30th.
Yes, we will still have a quorum.
Good.
Okay. So that sounds like we may have a consensus that we're going to continue this item a week. We're going to give people in the community a chance to continue to communicate with us by email or phone call or any other way you can, street corner conversations, whatever means you want to make yourselves available to let us know if you think we're getting to the right place. That's the intent here. So, again, I appreciate the testimony. I think if I can capture this, it is the council's intention to amend this ordinance to allow existing businesses to continue, even if they happen to be located 1,000 feet from another such business.
As long as they're licensed.
As long as they've been properly licensed before, you know, a date that we'll specify in the ordinance.
Right.
So that's the goal here, is to not put people out of business, to establish a reasonable spacing standard going forward, and to assert the city's ability to regulate beyond the level that the OLCC regulates. That's, again, an area where we might disagree philosophically, but I think certainly that's my feeling, and I think that was the intent of the draft. So.
Thank you, colleagues, and thanks, everybody, for your testimony. This is a rare occasion where I wish we had an afternoon hearing this afternoon, because I think actually it's not going to take a great deal of time to craft this amendment, and I do appreciate all of the time that's been put in. That means there'll be a lot more testimony and comments and such, and this is going to be a process of us figuring out what's legal, what do we want in our community for the wise and useful use of this new substance, which is going to be legal.
Okay, nice thank job. You all very much. Continued one week until next Wednesday. Thank you.